to view it as a kind of rhetorical question, but Ian, if anybody can answer that question, what is Forever for Ian Lennox?
I did like that song, and I liked the treatment of it. I thought it was had a restrained style throughout, which I thought was really effective.
Excellent. And, shall we pass that on if she's on the show next week, Ian? Shall we keep that in mind?
I don't think she'll care very much, in my opinion, must she?
Yes. Listen, you'd be amazed how much the Nashville artists and musicians, ultimately, time in Nashville now, it's probably around about 2 a.m. in the morning. So, you know, they're always keen to say, is Ian going to like this? You know, it's like the butterfly flapping its wings in Japan, creating an own girl. Oh, sorry, back to England. It's all right, Laura Bassett. Don't worry. As Mark, the Welsh manager of England, said, just let it out, love. Just let it out.
Is that the girl who scored the own goal?
Laura Bassett, that's right.
What a shame. I felt very sorry for her.
And after we'd hit the bar as well several times.
Twice. Well, we had four or five good chances to score and it didn't go in.
Yeah, Farrah Williams obviously did the business with the penalty. But if nothing else, at least we can look forward to an equivalence with the 1990 team as well. It was Jonathan
Pearce. I think it's done a lot of good for English football in general, actually. We've actually been involved in a tournament at a high level, you know.
Without scandal, you know, which was very good.
Yeah.
Eva, you said you got into the World Cup with the Brazil World Cup. Was that the case?
I did, yes. I suppose I did watch quite a few of them, actually. I think it was every night.
That game that we watched, the England-Japan game, was in Edmonton, where I'm going. Mm. And about 10 years ago, I was out there when I think it was the Under-21 World Cup on. And I watched the Brazil play at Edmonton. And there was an absolutely outstanding Brazilian player called Anita, I think her name was, who was 17 at the time. Mm. And she's now become apparently one of the world's best players.
Indeed. Although Brazil, nowhere to be seen this time.
Yeah.
Who would have thought Japan versus the United States of America, a repeat of the 2011 final?
Right.
Were you watching that? It's midnight our time on Sunday.
I might record it and watch it. I don't know.
It takes the pain away from Newcastle United. That's all I can
say. Oh, come on. You can't keep on dwelling on this.
Of course not. Steve McLaren, he's on the case. I'm sure you can look forward to happiness.
We had some rich guy who's willing to put money in the football club where you are.
You got Mike Ashley.
Well, that's what annoys about football nowadays. It's just simply the prerequisite of success is basically get some hugely wealthy man, usually from abroad.
Or woman.
To invest millions of pounds, tens of millions of pounds in a
club.
Or
rubles or dollars.
And they might as well have gone to Darnton and put the money in. They would be the way we're in Man City are now.
Or Lincoln City.
Not necessarily. It would take a bit longer, but...
As evidence, can I cite Queen's Park Rangers? Anyway, it's a different light. Lots of money there. Not quite as much success.
Not as much money either.
Please, you know.
Come on.
But
it's 10 to what Manchester City have been putting in.
Eva, last two questions for Ian Lennox, please.
Have you had a reasonable telephonic link with us
today? I have indeed. I'm just getting warmed up, actually.
That's always good.
Warmed up in this weather, I would say.
I'll be sending you anonymous emails, Alex.
Yes, go with it.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
I think so, loud and clear.
Yeah, exactly.
It goes on like this.
Precisely. Ian Lennox will return. Coming in the next hour of the programme, Bill Cowling, show director of The Great Yorkshire Show, William Sitwell, and probably some goodness from our cheese expert, Peter Sidwell. All this and more on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for July the 2nd, 2015.
Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Levchuk.
Excellent. Okay, the weather today, 22 degrees centigrade would be the high, 14 degrees centigrade would be the low. A fine, warm day, becoming very warm, but not as hot as yesterday. we've stepped away from the 131st Lincolnshire Show, and records were broken, and now we're on a record-breaking, very warm week, and we're heading towards the equally establishing of records and the joy and the fantastic nature that is the Great Yorkshire Show. And of course, to address that, it's become a tradition, even though we'd be saying there might be a different person in the sort of chair in the times to come. But for the moment, show director Bill Cowling, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. I'm good form.
Good, excellent stuff, as I say. How's the shadowing going with respect to the chap who's taking over for the Great Yorkshire Show 2016 shaping up?
Oh, Charles and I are talking very regularly. Charles is attending most of the meetings we have. It's going absolutely fine. It's going as well as you would expect it to go.
Excellent. Of course, he won't really be in position, Bill, until, of course, he's done one of these Midweek Drive Morning Edition interviews. I trust he's been prepared for that.
It can only be a matter of time.
Well, there you go. As we sort of head to the Great Yorkshire Show, I mean, it is the country's biggest rural agricultural celebration and education and so on. Looking to 2015, presumably all systems go.
Oh, absolutely. We're just where we should be at this time. You know, the entries are now in, and we are now, collating them. Most of that is done as well. We know what's coming, where it's coming. All the trade stands are booked, and they have started, actually, tents have started going up on the showground, and, all the marking out is done where the trade stands are going to go. And we're on the sort of a last cut of the grass for around the trade stands and the rings and that sort of thing. So, no, it looks good.
Just doing a bit of number crunching, thanks to, of course, the wonderful Sally Wall. 12,651 entries have been received. It's literally just shy of last time's all-time high of 12,847. Sheep numbers are particularly impressive. 2,328 coming there, smashing last year's record best of 2,292. I suspect that the Lincoln Long Wool might be putting an appearance there somehow.
Yes, the you mentioned the sheep entries. They are literally, we've had to turn, unfortunately, some sheep entries away, because of constraints on the accommodation. It's a massive number of sheep, obviously, and if you can't pen them, you can't show them.
And 1,211 entries into your own particular expertise, of course, the cattle classes.
Yes, again, it is the constraint is accommodation for the cattle. We've been on those sort of numbers for a year or two now, and it is literally, it's what we can get in. And we have a waiting list for cattle, and the way things are, something goes wrong with one of the cattle that are entered, so people cancel it and we can bring something else in its place. But it is, it's very gratifying that so many of the exhibitors want to show their cattle with us.
Bill, it's quite simple. They recognise quality when they see it. And obviously this is the country's premier agricultural show. I know that in terms of Lincoln, we have huge support for it. And it's an excellent production. And this year, you'll be pleased to know, was just as successful as ever. But as far as flagship agricultural events in terms of sheer quality, it's the Great Yorkshire Show.
That's very kind, Alex.
Lou Bevan, who I know you know and is our rural correspondent, has always said that the success that you introduced to the Great Yorkshire Show, and the whole team, actually, yourself, Nigel, Judy and company, have, is that you evolve and you might tweak a little bit, but fundamentally the core remains consistent and remains the same.
And agricultural. I mean, the clue's in the title. It's the shows that have remained true to agriculture, and Lincoln is one of them, and Cornwall and ourselves, they're the shows that have carried on being successful. As we all know, some other shows have had a less happy experience, and they've gone down a different route, but I say, the clue's in the title. An agricultural show should have plenty of agriculture.
For folk who may be contemplating coming to the Great Yorkshire Show, and again, there'll be some lucky prize winners who'll actually have family tickets for the whole sequence. In fact, if you don't mind, Bill, I'll actually just run the question once again, because the deadline is coming up very shortly. It'll be July the 10th that people need to respond to this. We've had a number of entries already, but the question we've been putting to people, please don't answer it, is what is the name of the sister production production that takes place at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showgrounds, the sister show to the Great Yorkshire Show. I think he might just know what that name might be, really.
I know what it is. Yeah, it's a very good show.
Exactly. And that's all you have to do, basically, if you're listening to this, is simply actually send in your answer to info@southsideradio.com and obviously your contact details, and it's a reasonably high chance you'll actually get a family ticket to the Great Yorkshire Show, which is outstanding. So it's a great stuff there. In addition to the agriculture, of course, we've got fashion. We've got cutting-edge culture and haute couture fashion, etc., culinary expertise and so on. Again, you just seem to pull out all the stops year in, year out.
Well, you mentioned the fashion show, Alex. The fashion show is a major part of our offering. It's not agricultural, isn't the fashion show, but it is related to what agriculture and rural life produces, and our designers, the people who put on the fashion show. It's all very locally based, but it's a very professional show, and it's a diversion for the visitors to the show to see something that's slightly different.
Absolutely, I remember.
You know, a show like ours, and any show, I mentioned agriculture, but it doesn't want to be all agriculture. People want it to be a social event and an enjoyable event, so you need other things as well, and hopefully we've got those.
And the expertise that Benedict Gledhill obviously gives to coordinating the models and so on, absolutely superb, always worthwhile. Even though the location I always think is quite amusing, in the old sort of right next door to the small animals, poultry and various other sheds.
Because it's sort of unique, is that, as far as fashion shows are concerned, I believe. You know, between the forge and the rabbits, you know, it's quite... It's quite a unique position for a high-class fashion show.
Of course, one of the aspects about the Great Yorkshire Show is that there's a chance to network, and looking to that, it's interesting to see that you're going to be addressing the fight against black grass, which folk might not be too familiar with, etc. For a group of forward-thinking farmers will be tapping into the latest research for combating black grass, and it's on the agenda of two free breakfast seminars at the show itself.
Yes, indeed. It's a major problem, is black grass. In the arable areas, more than the grassland areas, although it's a grass weed, which is very difficult to control in arable crops. So I think a lot of your listeners in the Lincolnshire area will know all about black grass, and we're very interested to know that we are trying to put forward some ideas of to help control of it.
Professor Robert Edwards, Head of Agriculture at Newcastle University, will be chairing the event, and speakers will include Oxfordshire arable farmer Tom Allen Stevens, Dr. Paul Neave, and Rothamsted Senior Research Scientist Dr. Paul Neave, and Professor Robert Freckleton, who is from the University of Sheffield. So again, a range of things there. If you need to register, obviously you can register with Holly Jones at the Farmer Scientist Network. That's some of the series of it. It's the 157th Great Yorkshire Show, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, presumably we're all set for the 158th as well, but Bill, you'd still be there, because I mean, as I said when we spoke at the 156th Great Yorkshire Show, I mean, obviously that was when you were just beginning to sort of hand over. I mean, I think you've done two terms as official show director. So
yes, it was originally planned that I would do 5 years, mm-hmm. and when I've done this show, it will be 10.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a good stint. So it's been most enjoyable. It's an absolutely super. It's a great honour to be asked to do it, and it's a super job. The interesting people that you meet, and the interesting things that you see, and to be involved in the organisation of this show is, I say, it's a huge honour to be asked to do it.
Right. Proves that you have the ability and the skill and the expertise, Bill.
It proves they couldn't get anybody else. That's what it means.
I'm not going to comment on that whatsoever. Move on to the website, which is, of course, greatyorkshireshow.co.uk. Tickets still available for a few more days, I think up until the 8th of July 2015.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Get a discount online. I mean, amazingly, I have adult tickets, £23. Even if you sort of buy on the gate, it's just £26. So again,
yes.
And free parking, of course.
Free and extensive parking. We've got an extra 30 or 40 acres of car parking over this last few years, which absolutely transforms the car parking, in that whichever direction you come in from, you will go into a car park which is logical for that direction. You won't be trekking across one car park to get to another car park. which when we were tight for space was a bit of a problem. But that's no longer there because we've got all this extra car parking, and car parking's good.
The weather we're currently experiencing in Lincolnshire is probably a bit too warm for the show, really. I mean, we don't want record-breaking temperatures. You want a sort of gentle sort of cool breeze from that perspective. But certainly you don't want the heavens to actually open. Having said that, as we always say, as well as your sunscreen, it's worthwhile actually being prepared. And of course, the great thing with the Great Yorkshire Show is so much of the area is hard-standing that the event can continue in any case.
Absolutely. We've spent a lot on roads and keep spending. You know, we spend something like £500,000 a year improving the infrastructure of the showground. And if the worst came to the worst and it was very wet, a lot of it is hard going and plenty of places, you know, to big grandstand to sit and watch the main ring attractions and things if it did happen to be wet. But as you say, it's... It's very warm at the moment, and we hope for sunshine at the show.
Absolutely. We spoke a few moments ago about Charles Mills, of course, the successor, because nobody could ever replace you, Bill. You know, irreplaceable, as I say. You know, so he was successor as show director for the Great Yorkshire Show. He's also part of the regional judging panel for something which we were particularly interested in, which is, of course, sound conservation practice and the balance between conservation and commercial farming.
Yes, and it's very important that we help to promote and support these sort of initiatives. And the show is pleased to do that. The society is pleased to do that. And Charles has been a major part of that over the years. And I suspect he will hand that on to someone else from this year, because he's going to be busy with something else.
Yes, I think so. I mean, that's part and parcel of the whole sort of rich tapestry that we've actually got there. But again, just as a general flavour. And it's a standard question, but in terms of obviously the main ring exhibitors and lines from that point of view, would you like to just share some of the other events and excitements that people who are coming to the Great Yorkshire Show will be able to see?
Well, it's very diverse. We mentioned the fashion show earlier, which is terrific. We go from that to the Shetland Pony Grand National in the main ring, which is a wonderful spectacle. Small children on small ponies jumping Grand National type jumps, obviously not as big as Grand National jumps, in our main ring. That will be absolutely terrific. But, you know, the diverse mix of trade stands is superb for, you know, for a day out, to be able to go. You can go look at your cattle, or you can go look at your sheep, but you can also spend a few hours looking around some really high class trade stands, and that's all great as well. If you like show jumping, the Cock of the North on the Thursday afternoon, probably the leading show jumping class at any agricultural show, you know, tremendous names, but also their best horses will be competing for a pretty large first prize.
And you mentioned, of course, a day out there, Bill. I have to say it's a 3-day out package, because really you can't begin to sort of cover all the wealth of material you've actually got there unless you actually, I would say, go for the full 3 days if you can. It's the 14th, 15th and 16th of July. Usually the 14th, Wednesday the 15th and Thursday the 16th. As we said, you can also go to greatyorkshireshow.co.uk for details, tickets and delights, etc. You've said, obviously, the beginning, the preparations are coming together on this basis. Is there a sense of anticipation from your own point of view? And a sort of sense of excitement as we sort of the countdown continues to tick onwards, even though, you know, we're sort of, you know, still sort of looking ahead to events within the agricultural zone.
Absolutely, and that's always the case. The excitement builds. It's the culmination of a year's work, so it is an exciting time, and you always hope that everything is going to go as well as you had hoped it will. And, you know, it does. It's a super event, but at this time, just before the event, the excitement does build. And as the showground starts to take shape, the, you know, it heightens the excitement, because you can see, oh, you know, such and such is going to be in that tent, or the... that's where the hound show, the kennels have been built for the hound show this last day or two. You know, it's going to be a super hound show in that area. And it all, everything brings back memories, good memories, and also it, as I say, heightens the excitement and the anticipation.
genuinely wonderful. Of course, social media, you're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. I was quite amused by the current routine, which is who does the best hashtag Wensleydale, hashtag cheese. That's something I think, you know, in terms of both of us, really, we're sort of thinking, oh, Twittering network, who would have thought it? You'll be pleased to know, Bill, we'll be bringing some tweeters along this time for both Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM to do some tweeting, as we've done for the Lincolnshire Show as well. It's a strange world.
That would be really good. I mean, it's wonderful to see, to always greet your team and other parts of the media as well, obviously, but to see your team, and especially you sometimes bring some younger people who are starting out in the industry, as it were, and I think it's great that we're able to meet up with them.
Well, there we have it, Bill. It's been fantastic as ever. Nobody else at the studio this time around, because we did it as a pre-recorder. We thought, oh, let's just have a little one-to-one chat. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
Absolutely super, Alex.
And I take it we can look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, probably as on the 14th and 15th of July.
Yeah, I do hope so.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
He is William Sitwell, Rachel, and today, Eva MacDonald, you get the chance to speak to William Sitwell as well. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, wonderful.
Genius. I know it's Sir Van Morrison these days, he got a knighthood and so on. It's high time, William, we got Sir William Sitwell sorted out for your good self, clearly.
Well, kill my brother and it'll happen.
Life continues. That's the important thing. Or not, as the case may be. Good morning once again, William. Welcome to the programme. We've just been listening to Bill Cowling talking about the Great Yorkshire Show that's coming up. I've been amusing myself by looking at your latest video of parliamentary people boogieing down, which you shared on your Facebook page. I thought, what's going on there?
Oh, yes, that was a good one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Very good. And I can introduce you to a young lady who's just completed her A-levels and is probably going to go into the world of music college and stuff as a top chorister and opera person. That's Eva MacDonald.
Good morning.
Oh, here we are.
Morning, yes. Eva. Can you give us a little, sing me an A?
A.
A. Very good.
Yeah, sorted through there. Steak, William. I mean, opera singers and steak, I don't know. Could be working on that basis. But you wrote for the Times last week about the are we back on steaks? Are steaks back with us? Is it a case of, you know, we've never gone away from them? There was a time when footballers would eat steaks. Perhaps if England's women had done that, they wouldn't have actually scored an own goal. It's just a thought.
Well, no, the sort of the latest craze and the sort of new steak fetish is how long you hang your meat for. And what you're finding is sort of every restaurant trying to outdo another one in terms of, I think 100 days is pushing it, because it starts to taste a bit like sort of truffles, and you know, you start losing a lot of the meat. But you need to hang your meat. A lot of supermarket meats aren't hung. Waitrose hang theirs, I think, for 40 days. A lot of top end restaurants make a big play on how long they're hanging their meat for. They have their own curing rooms and so on. Because people always used to think about just the provenance, you know, which cow it came from, which particular Aberdeen Angus cow that was munching on which particular piece of grass, and you know, and if you eat Wagyu beef, for example, I mean, literally the farmers will feed it beer and I don't know, foie gras, and will massage its hind quarters so that the meat is sort of tenderized while the poor beast is still alive. But now people are pushing it further forward, and the ultimate steak really is one that's been hung for at least 30 days. And of course it depends on the actual cut. You know, some meat needs more tenderizing than others. And you know, it's not just about char grilling it and resting it. You know, you need to make sure it's aged. But of course it costs more, because the longer you age it, the more you lose of it, because you have to trim off some of the tartar bits of the cut. So it's a question of, you know, when you go out there, don't just ask where it's from, ask how long it's been aged.
An interesting point. I mean, Eva, we know from your duties with us at the Lincolnshire Show last week, you're not a vegetarian.
No.
So we're through that sort of basis. Last night, William, we were provided with some Jersey Wonders, little culinary delights that were sent up in a package from our Jersey correspondent, Anna Lewis. Mm. They'd been sort of sweltering for probably about a day, well over a week probably, in many ways. Conceivably 7 to 8 days. I'm not sure whether similar sort of things apply, but they still worked. We were a bit worried.
Potatoes.
Yeah, pretty much so. Well, so yes, kind of. They were called Jersey Wonders, but actually
they were potatoes.
Actually, they weren't potatoes. Describe them.
Well, I thought they were a bit cake style.
Yeah, they're cakes.
They're
really
a bit like donuts. I think.
This is one of the reasons, William. I could never be employed by Waitrose because I have difficulty distinguishing between a cake and a potato.
If you can't tell if it's a cake and potato, yeah, you've got issues.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it's thanks to people like you, the people like me, who can tell the difference, can get a job.
Precisely. It's symbiosis. Genius. That's a cake. That's a potato. Right. But anyway, it went down very well, and I'm sure we can actually sort of prevail upon Anna to send you some Jersey Wonders as well.
Yeah,
not only to do with potatoes, but cakes. But it's an interesting line. Listen, this video you put on your Facebook page, Unilad's video, in which we apparently see Boris Johnson, David Cameron and company getting on down. What possessed you, William?
I hit a button called share.
I can't help giving. No, it's very good there, and has brought a smidgen of amusement to the whole sort of sequence.
Now listen, it may be the middle of summer in your village, but where I am on Carlton House Terrace in the city of Westminster, it's Christmas, because this is the Waitrose Christmas press show. I've got to go in there, eat mince pies, look at their signature spice range, look at Dutchie's organic range of Waitrose products, and all of it. So, you know, it's a happy Christmas from me.
William, once again, you call it as we sort of, you know, we appreciate that in every sense of the word. And actually, next week we'll be making our way up to the official opening of the Great Maze, which is the Great Yorkshire Maze. It's the York Maze in Yorkshire, which has an interesting theme, which we have sort of revealed on the show today. But if I said it's 50 years anniversary celebrations of a Gerry Anderson series, you might identify what it is. So we might do a pre-record next week. I'll sort something out from that point of view. But Eva has been practicing this, and I know she's managed to reach the stage where she could actually sing you the last two questions. Actually, would you like to sing the last two questions to
I'll just ask them.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Them.
Right, okay. Off you go.
Have you had a reasonable telephonic link with us today?
Yeah. What was that? A note? Yes.
Nice. There we go.
Very good. Yeah.
And
will we be hearing again from you soon?
You guys can't help yourselves. Put money on it.
William Sitwell, the Moorish editor of Waitrose. Celebrate the Christmas scenario. And remember, you know, Waitrose is for life, not just for Christmas. Sorry. Couldn't resist it, William.
Back to reality. Back to life. Back to reality.
There's a blast from the 90s, or thereabouts. Soul to Soul, featuring Karen Wheeler, Back to Life, brackets, however do you want me, close brackets. News from the John Wenham Events Diary. I know you thought we weren't going to mention it so much in the show, but of course it's the John Wenham Events Diary on Tuesday the 7th of July at 1:05. There's a lunchtime concert with Josh Wilkinson and Jane O'Farrell, a piano duo. They are actually performing at the Lincoln Drill Hall. Josh Wilkinson, of course, being a music student at York University, where he's focusing on piano and composition, and Jane O'Farrell studied at the Royal College of Music. Last summer they explored Schubert's F minor Fantasia at the Chatham's Piano Summer School with Ashley Wass. But anyway, if you are interested in having a little bit of quality music, check out the Lincoln Drill Hall, Tuesday the 7th of July, 1:05. Tickets £7, concessions are £5. I don't know if that appeals to a good soul of Eva.
Yes, it does.
Sort of line from that point of view. Yeah. It's worth mentioning as well at the Drill Hall on the 10th of July, 8 p.m, the NYT Juniors, that's the New Youth Theatre Juniors, are providing a stage adaptation of Disney's High School Musical.
Very nice.
Exactly. The smash hit made-for-TV movie with young performers playing Can you name the key cast of High School Musical? It's a test of your sort of youth credentials here.
I know there's Troy Bolton.
Troy is right, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And Gabriella.
Gabriella.
Sharpie. Mm.
Sharpay and Ryan. And Ryan, yes.
There we are. And the rest of the cast will be there as well. And you can check out the New Youth Theatre Juniors at Disney's High School Musical. I can tell John will be straight there, in there like swimwear.
Mm.
If he's not umpiring cricket, he'll be at the Disney's High School Musical scenario. If he could.
If he could.
But the show's been sold out. Unbelievable. You know, it's so popular, you'll just have to go on the waiting list. That's the whole routine. Bit like cheese. Cue Peter Sidwell, a cheese expert and chef who we'll be connecting with actually later on in the year at the Saltburn Food Festival. But we were lucky enough to speak to Peter earlier in the week. And the first question I wanted to put to Peter was, what is it with respect to the range of British cheeses, which continually opens and grows? Is there ever going to be an end to the number of cheeses that we actually get?
No, not really. I mean, I think the beauty of cheese is that we, you know, over 700 different cheeses in the UK, and I think that is a testament to the artisan renaissance of this country at the moment. We are producing some incredible products, you know, world-beating products, and our farmers are creating great milk. Our producers are creating great cheeses with different characters. They're very distinctive. They're regional. They've got provenance. I think they're just a really great set of products.
King Henry II, of course, was the monarch who declared that cheddar was actually the best in Britain. I mean, what do you think our sort of current monarchy would go? Do you get any sort of word down the line?
Oh, I can imagine that, you know, they would just, yeah. There's always a good cheddar somewhere on a cheese board in this country, but it's not just about cheddar. I think there's some incredible cheeses. I mean, the Lincolnshire Poacher must be your local cheese. I love that one. It's got such an incredible flavour.
Well, I must admit, Lincolnshire Poacher is a classic. Of course, there's the Lincolnshire Red, not to be confused with the Lincoln Red, which is a cattle. I don't know, it's very confusing. One of those two is sort of that. And when we're up in Teesside, who knows what the situation could be. In the studio, Peter, we've got a fine soul whose Iona peers, and Iona actually said something which might be sacrilegious, because Iona, your favourite cheese is?
I like cheese strings.
What? Cheese strings, Peter.
That's not on my list.
there's always a slight sort of change in that particular. We've also got Ace author Jenny Finch. Jenny, cheese, are you a cheese person?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm very fond of Emmental, but my favourite local cheese is Black Bomber, which we get in the deli at Saltburn. It's beautiful.
Mm. I mean, has the Black Bomber managed to cross over to Cumbria as yet, Peter?
Yes, I've tried the Black Bomber. It's got a great flavour. And I love the name. And people can be very playful with the marketing of these cheeses, and that can be the success of it. You know, there's so many different cheeses out there. You could just talk about them forever.
And we probably could do, but I mean, obviously, I think the fine folk at On Broadcast might sort of be a bit concerned. Who said, forever? It was only supposed to be 10 minutes. What's going on here? You know, as we head into the 23rd century. Looking at the numbers, though, I mean, just number crunching for a bit, £2.8 billion on cheese. That's quite a substantial industry.
Certainly is. I mean, you can't argue with the numbers. Clearly, you know, we like to buy our cheese. And I think, you know, often when you talk about cheese, you think about the French and how all the cheeses and things like that are ingrained in their culture. But it really does play a massive part, in the UK and what we eat. You know, it has changed so much, this country, in the way we cook, our knowledge of food. And I think we are always looking for that local product where we can, you know, that really distinctive, iconic provenance is such a big part. And people's knowledge of food is getting higher and higher, and their expectations of it. And actually, it almost becomes this kind of voyage of discovery of new cheeses and where are they coming from, and that pride of what's on your doorstep.
Jenny, you was kind enough to introduce us last year to the Saltburn International Food Festival, which I think goes into another year this year. Will cheeses be on display there, Jenny?
Quite a large number, yes. Oh. Not just cow's milk cheese, but also goat and sheep cheese as well.
I'll be looking forward to that, because I'm coming to cook there this year.
Yay!
I shall meet you there.
You see, I'll bring the crackers.
Thank you, Gromit.
It's a whole new world. Talking about names, of course, Peter, and leads us to that appalling joke, which I once heard but can't get out of my brain. How do the Welsh miners eat their cheese? Answer, carefully. Sorry. Yeah. But carefully does emerge. I thought I'd leave you a couple of moments for that to sink in, really, whilst I sort of hang my head in shame. But in terms of names, I mean, some of those sort of aspects about cheese, they do relate to the area so tightly, don't they, Peter?
Absolutely, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's made from cow's milk, you know, or sheep's milk or goat's milk, and they graze on the pastures of that area. And these farmers are now, they're either getting the milk out to producers who are making the cheese, or they're now making it themselves. And they're looking to create products with added value. There's not so much value in just milk now, but obviously if you can turn it into cheese, you know, cheese has wonderful abilities to be able to carry flavours, and it can change through the season. You know, you get slightly different flavours depending on time of year and things like that. So, you know, it's a chef's dream to get hold of different cheeses, and how do we work that into our menus or at home when, you know, when we're cooking and things like that. And in the summer at the moment, the weather is so beautiful, any excuse to sit outside and eat dinner is all right by me. So I'm at the moment, we're trying to create, you know, lovely salads and things like that with great cheeses, you know, and they all play a different part and work with different ingredients. And I think it's really important to get textures and contrasts and balance and freshness, fruitiness, nuttiness. And salads are a great way of getting all those different elements in. I'm not a massive salad fan until I can make it myself and make it really exciting, because all too often salads can be a bit dull, in my opinion, but they shouldn't be. They can be incredible, you know, and you can put, they're as good as the ingredients you put into them. And it's just getting that nice balance of all the different textures and things like that with them.
See, our mouths are watering already, Peter, with that sort of fantastic description. I've got to ask you, the Cornish Yarg. Would you like to explain the background in terms of why Cornish Yarg, which sounds like an alien from the upcoming Star Wars movie coming across, you know, how did Cornish Yarg get its name?
Well, they ended up wrapping it, didn't they, in nettles, really, to help preserve it. And it's become one of those very distinctive British cheeses. And when I've been touring around the country doing sort of different TV programmes, it always comes out, and I think you just associate the region and that cheese together, and you can do it. You can plot your way all around the UK with cheese, everyone loves their local cheese. You know, there's lots of different things going on, and there's a whole new wave of sort of new artisan producers that are coming through now, and they're doing quite different and exciting things. You know, there are some cheese producers that are working with wild garlic in the spring. There are some that are working with nuts and things like that in the autumn, and they're working with different fruits in the summer. So there's all kinds of different things going on. But ultimately, it's great for customers because you get these incredible products.
And, of course, Cornish Yarg is grey spelt backwards. Sorry, I just wanted to put that in there because it just appealed to me. How can people find out more information, should they choose to do so, about cheese and some of the fabulous recipes and thoughts you've been providing today for us, Peter?
Well, if you go to britishcheese.com, there's a cheese map on there that will show you all kinds of different cheeses, where they come from. It's full of recipes. So just go to the website, have a little look around, get yourself to your local cheesemonger, your deli, or your farmer's market, and you'll be able to taste and buy until your heart's content.
Peter, it's been an absolute genuine delight, and of course the added bonus that come August the 2nd, I believe, because that's the sort of the Saltburn Food Festival, we might hopefully see you in Poisson in Saltburn.
Yes, we will.
So, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
I have indeed, thank you.
And as I say, we kind of already answered the other one, because Peter Sidwell, the roadshow that is Peter Sidwell and phenomenon when it comes to cheese and culinary matters, will be on tour and we'll catch up in Saltburn. Peter, we'll see you again very soon.
Great, thanks very much.
Getting carried away now, aren't they? Dear Lord. Anyway, as recorded in our northern studios and so on. Cheese person, from your own point of view, Ava?
Yes, I think so. I've only just been getting into cheeses, really, but I'm getting more.
Touring the UK via the cheeses of the world. Interesting.
Everything is great. Everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Everything is perfect. It's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face.
Life's a one by your side. Shake.
Life's a happy song when there's someone by your side to sing along.
Pearl. perfect. A little bit of epic nature of material coming out after the excitement of Peter Sidwell and Cheese and Cheddar. That's almost it, Eva, apart from mentioning that the Lincolnshire Showground on Sunday the 7th, no, the 5th of July, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m, we have the Sunday Antiques Market, run by AS Fairs, a monthly Sunday market located in the Exhibition Hall, brimming with a wonderful variety of quirky, quality collectibles and antiques to tempt all folk, whether you fancy a leisurely browse for one-of-a-kind finds, or you have a shop to restock, or even if you want to add to your collection or seek advice on a special object, the trip to the Antiques Market will be a successful outing for you and the whole family. Entry £2 per person, that's at Lincolnshire Showground this coming Sunday, the 5th of July, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Right, almost time to actually do our final roll of honour, but we need to mention the Sew Festival once more, where can people find you this evening, Eva MacDonald?
They can find us in Spilsby tonight.
And in Spilsby tonight, what will be happening?
It will be a mixture of arts and dance and music.
And if people actually want to find their web address and actually go to the Sew Festival online, where should they actually go?
They should go to www.sewfestival.com.
Exactly, or hashtag SewFest15 on Facebook and indeed Twitter.
Indeed, yes.
Texas with a summer sun. I wonder why we played that then. Okay, final news as well, as of course, quick reminder as far as the Great Yorkshire Show is actually concerned, a couple of weeks' time, that Prince Charles will be there on the Tuesday, and on the Wednesday we've just heard that the One Show will actually be there. That's a BBC thing, I believe, they put together. First time the entire programme will be broadcast live from an agricultural event, and it's gone to the Great Yorkshire Show. Sorry, Lincoln, it's just the way it is. You know, that's the, it's probably because they actually heard Eva MacDonald might be attending, and
I probably will.
Sue,
yes.
Rice will be there. I'll be there, and we'll be doing all sorts of things. And Bill Cowling quoted as saying, "The One Show has a hugely successful formula of combining the fun and quirky with information and insight, which is a similar ethos to our own." We could say that as well about Siren FM and the Midweek Drive. That's it for your second show, of course, your first ever Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Eva, did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thanks to Natalie Tuck, Richard Fitzwilliams, Peter Sidwell, Ian Lennox, Bill Cowling, William Sitwell, and Matt Grist for joining us telephonically. Thank you, dear listener, for whatever bits of the show you've enjoyed, or if you're listening on podcast, have a great time. There are lots of other podcasts available. And we'll probably see you next week then, Eva.
We will probably.
If we don't catch up with you at the Sew Festival. next week, we're going live to Los Angeles Zoo.
Yes,
the Los Angeles Zoo Association will be there. We've got TV directors, we've got a whole heap of other things. That's on the Midweek Drive, plus more on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. And maybe, just maybe, a look back at some of the excitements we did last week at the unbroadcast material. It's available online, but as yet unbroadcast stuff we did from day 2 of the Lincolnshire Show. Can you say bye-bye, Eva?
Bye-bye.